Welcome to the Black Mind Garden, the podcast that helps you remap your mind and retrain your brain and be more flexible and fluent in your life. This podcast is about planting new seeds that help you remap your mind so that you can master your inner voice, expand your listening and communication, and produce unimaginable results in your life. I am your host, Dr. Maisha. Hi, Dr. Maisha here. I have some news for you. I'm starting a new podcast called Behind Beliefs and Behaviors, Getting to the Root Cause with Dr. Maisha. And I'm so excited about this new podcast because in this podcast, I'm going to take you on a journey of what is behind specific beliefs, behaviors, and communications, both in personal life and in organizations and at the societal level. With my guests, we will get to the root cause of what is standing in the way of everything from health, wealth, and relationships to leadership, community transformation, and societal progress. Talking about topics that span from racial equity and oppression to personal health and intimacy, this podcast is sure to get you to the source and provide practical tips to transform your life one root cause action at a time. So stay tuned because very, very soon you will be here at the announcement of the launch of this podcast. And we want you to subscribe, come right on over. If you're a listener on this podcast, to begin listening to Behind Beliefs and Behaviors. Stay tuned. We'll keep you updated. Now back to our show. Hey, welcome back to another episode of the Black Mind Garden, where we are remapping minds so you can create a life you design. And today, I have to tell y'all a little secret. So this podcast episode is actually a take two, because yours truly somehow lost the first version. And so I'm excited and I'm very grateful for the grace. Now, and I share this with you because I want y'all to know that we are human and having human experiences all the time. And people don't always see like the back end, what goes on in the back, the bloopers, the mess ups, the redos. And, you know, as I do the work of creating psychological safety in organizations, and as I teach around flexibility of behavior, it's good for people, I feel, to get that, you know, I'm just as human as everybody else. So I had to tell y'all that little secret to reintroduce, well, it's really for y'all the first time, to introduce my new friend, and she is a naturopathic doctor, Cherie Carrara. Now, let me tell you a little story. So I do speak a little Spanish. And so when I see names like Carrara, I want to roll the heck out the R, which is what I did when I asked earlier behind the scenes. And she was like, nah, that's not it. So I almost did it again, which is why I had to stop myself. Again, human moments, but I had to chuckle at myself for a moment. But anyway, I love this because we are talking about a human journey today with Cherie. And so she is the owner of Rebirth Therapy. That's her company. We are going to be talking a little bit about Rebirth Therapy, but also in the context of her journey with MS. So welcome, Cherie. Thank you so much for coming and recording the second time around and just for being with us. I'm looking forward to this conversation. How are you?
I am wonderful. I'm happy to be here again. It's such a pleasure to be here twice. It was so nice. We had to do it twice.
Exactly. Well, you know, I always like to start by giving my audience an overview of like, who are you? Who is Cherie? And kind of how you got to where you are, like with Rebirth Therapy and just your journey. Like, how did you get here?
How did I get here and where am I, right? Physical location is Jamaica, which I'm very happy for. A So I'll start July 3rd, 2013. I went to my neurologist and he wrote the names of three MS specialists, MS being multiple sclerosis specialists, on a piece of paper. And he gave it to me and he gave me the diagnosis. And I looked at the piece of paper, looked back at him, and I said, "Oh my gosh, you write like a doctor." And we both started laughing. And he said, "You're going to be okay, Cherie." And I went home and I bawled, living eyes out, and I bawled and I cried. But that really started my rebirth. I didn't know it at that time. I was working in corporate. I was a full-time, climbing the corporate ladder, Black executive, Black female executive, or melanated. So I was doing my thing. I did a checkbox, went to school, went to college, you know, got married. What else was I supposed to do? What else? Climb the corporate ladder. Let's do it. Climb. Where am I supposed to live? Lived in a certain place. You know, everything was checkbox, checkbox. MS was not on my list. I was like, wait, what did I do to deserve this? And then that started that downhill journey. You know, there's...
It's so interesting how we have these checkboxes. And we have a vision of how what we want our life to be. And then we achieve a lot of the checkboxes. And then something just sort of comes and knocks us off track for a moment. But then we don't always recognize that, you know, it's all working. Especially when you're in that moment of like that diagnosis moment for you and that, like, why? When we're in that moment, it's really hard to see why. But the journey, like, you know, of course, they always say hindsight's 20/20. So I'd love to hear more about, like, what happened next?
Well, what happened next? MS quickly, my body reacted. And I don't think it's just me, right? So for MS, symptoms can come up and then get worse in hours, minutes. Not necessarily days for me. So I lost vision in my left eye. Did not realize that I lost vision in my left eye because it was gradual. So I remember being in the subway and sometimes seeing people with a walking cane. I'm like, can they see me? I wonder if they can see me. Are they really blind? I wonder what it's like. You know, be careful of your thoughts, your questions.
Right.
Because I have an answer. So it felt like a piece of wax paper was over my eye. So I could see, but not see 100% clearly.
Correct.
And then it started feeling like holes were in the paper. So I could now see light. And then one day, nothing. Just felt like, you know, a black paper, or nothing. I couldn't see anything. I lost my ability to connect that connection to say, all right, we're going to walk. You don't realize how much happens in split seconds. You know, so in my head, I was about to walk, but my feet didn't get the message or my legs didn't get the message. And so I would fall pretty often. So I got worse and worse. And my now ex-husband, my husband at that time, was not being very supportive. And, you know, I give thanks for MS. I give thanks for my ex-husband because it made me be honest with myself. You know, if somebody came to me and said, "Cherie, how are you?" "Fine. I'm doing great." Because I did the checkbox. So why wouldn't I be great? I did the checkbox. But what was happening is my body was saying, "You're not fine. You're stressed out. You're not taking care of yourself. You're not loving yourself." And then that we just started to really shut down, just moment by moment, shut down.
Wow. I mean, that's just, it's so powerful what you've created around, you know, like our bodies messaging us. Because I think that in our society today, in general, everybody is so up here. Everybody is so cerebral. Everybody is so disconnected from not only from their bodies, like the experience of being in the body. And I think part of that is, you know, social media, you know, this, everything is just up here. And we're connected from emotion. I mean, disconnected from emotion. Disconnected from our bodies and experiencing our bodies, and we're disconnected from each other. There's a lot of disconnection that's happening, and there's a lot of false connecting happening. So it would seem like that we're okay, but it's the things like this that have you be really honest with yourself. And that's just, you know, and then I think there's a lot that people have to relearn how to reconnect to the emotion and reconnect to be able to be honest, like
people, I think most people are not being dishonest on purpose. They're just so disconnected. They don't even realize how dishonest they're being about their life
this
and
is
about
true.
How they feel and about what they want and about what they need and about what's important to them.
So I was one of those people. I might have aspects of my life where I am disconnected, and it's the rebirth that allows me, the tools that I use that allow me to say, hold on, stop. What's going on? Check in. Are you being honest with yourself, Sheree? You know, do you really want to go to that party? Do you really want to go to that dinner? You know, being able to say, even just to myself, yes, I do. No, I don't.
I love that. It's interesting. I resonate with what you say, just with regard to having to do that work constantly, you know, to asking, well, do I really want to do that? Or is this in line with my values? Or is this really important to me? Like, what's really important to me? I would say probably over the last 5 or 6 years, started when my son was born, I really had to start asking myself those questions, you know, what's important to me, because I'm a single mom. So then, you know, like there's only so much one person can do. And my family is no longer in town. Initially wasn't in town. I had family in town, now no longer in town. So there was a lot of really having to examine what was important to me. What was I going to give my attention to and give my energy to? And what was I going to stop giving my energy to? And I think that's the more important question, is what was I going to stop giving my attention and my energy to that was sucking my energy away, you know? And so for you, what it occurs for me is like, that was a forced choice for you. That was like you either could or you could suffer, and you chose.
This is true. You
know? Yeah.
And it was not what I had envisioned for my life. Like, I got married to stay married forever and ever and ever and have babies and do, you know, get a white picket fence and right. get a dog, get the house and the birds. So getting a divorce wasn't on my list, mm-hmm. but I wasn't happy. And I had to admit that. And when you're not happy, when you admit that, then what?
Yeah, that part. There's a grief process that happens. I mean, so now, not only is there the grief of, oh, I just got diagnosed with this condition. Then there's also, I realize I'm not happy and I had checked all the boxes. Then what? I'd love to know, like, where did the rebirth therapy come in for you? Like, how did you discover that?
So I started to take some herbs and do exercise and mm-hmm. went on a holistic path or a naturopathic path. And I started to get better. I didn't expect it. I literally thought this was going to be the end of my life. I thought because everything was just feeling and feeling so quickly. For me to even get off the bed, I have to slide down and allow gravity to just take its course. I just had no energy. And I just figured, okay, I'm not eating. But then I started to feel better. With a new lifestyle. And it, once again, it wasn't because I said, oh, I'm going to get better. It was really because I'm like, well, who cares? I'm going to die anyway. You know, so reached out to my cousin and said, please write my eulogy, because I want to know what's going to be said while I'm alive. You know, I really got better. My energy came back. My vision came back. My walking came back. And I just decided it wasn't enough to tell my story. Because then it's like, okay, you've told your story. How do you help people, Sheree? So that's when I went back to school, decided on studying the naturopathic career. And then I feel like I'm like one of these people that I dream. I feel like it was in a dream. It was like rebirth therapy. I'm like, what is that? But I always wanted to start a company where we could focus on helping people to heal, especially from an emotional standpoint. Because that takes a lot. That takes a lot of energy, and a lot of people are not authentic with their feelings, as we were talking about. So that's where rebirth came from. Rebirth therapy.
Wow. You know, there's something that you said. I want to get into rebirth therapy, but there's something that you said that really struck me, which was, you know, you started to have this, to take on this new lifestyle, and at the same time, it was not from the space of, well, I'm gonna get better. It was just like, well, I'm going to die anyway. So in a way, it's interesting. There was like this level of surrender that happened, even though you were taking on a new lifestyle. There was this like surrender that I heard. And surrender can be very powerful because I think that that level of surrender then allows for something new to get generated mm-hmm. in the body and in the mind. And so it's just, I heard it in there. And it's so, you know what? I have to just sit back and say, I'm so glad we're doing this the second time around because I'm hearing stuff that I didn't hear before. So yeah, this is like, that's, it's very beautiful. And it's a lesson. It's a really a lesson. Like sometimes when we resist the things in our lives, like all we're doing is causing the persistence of them. You say, you know, what you resist persists, right?
So true.
Yeah. But then there's a surrender. And even though the surrender was from a, it was from a particular place, it still was a surrender indeed, like surrendering, like I'm not in control of this anymore. What's going to happen is going to happen. And I'm going to take these actions.
Yeah.
And then what happened is your whole life turned around. And then you found this. Then you say, okay, well, now I want to help others. And then, okay, now. And then rebirth got downloaded. It was almost like you look at it from now back, you know, from the rear view. It's almost like that was part of the journey all along.
It was. I 100% believe that.
Yeah. It's like, how could it be anything else? Like you're like, oh, well, that now it makes sense. You know, I had to get honest, I had to surrender, and then I had to get better, get my energy back. And then it could be downloaded from whatever people believe out there, universe, source, God, whatever. It could be downloaded that, because it's not an accident that got downloaded in your mind. Rebirth therapy.
Yeah. I think that's such a beautiful name. The website was available, everything. I was like, wait a second, what's going on? I love that you used the word surrender because that was actually it. So my personality, one, I'm a problem solver and I love to help people, right? Mm-hmm. Which comes into the people pleasing borderline. I can easily go over that side. So I was always focused on others, but not myself. So when I finally like surrendered, and just let go of needing to, you know, this has to be fixed. This is how it has to look, right? Mm-hmm. I created how it had to look. But in this case, I was not in control. I was not in the driver's seat. And I was trying to be, don't get me wrong.
I get that.
And when I surrendered, everything just, you know, I was able to get the clarity, strength, courage to get the divorce. Mm-hmm. And that was just like hard because family, friends, they, you know, they saw the difference clearly or knew of the difference, even didn't see it. Like you need somebody in your life to help you, which was true. Mm-hmm. However, it was not the person who I thought it would have been. And it's not the person who they thought would be the person.
Isn't that interesting? You know, where we are co-creators, but we're not totally in control. Like the balance and the rhythm of taking action and letting go, taking action like the committed but unattached theme.
And it's the work I'm still doing today, right?
Oh man, it is it is definitely a mountain with no top for sure. Yeah. For sure. So let's talk about rebirth therapy. What is it? What is this rebirth therapy? How does it help people? Let's talk a little bit about how has it helped you? I would love to hear it in the context of what it is, but also in the context of what your journey with it.
So rebirth therapy focuses on detoxing, specifically detoxing emotion. There's one therapy in particular that's doing really well. It's an inner voice therapy mm-hmm. where it's picking up the emotions in your voice from a recording and able to give you a report and also give you some tones or music tones, just like similar to what you just heard, to help with the healing process. So it's a journey, a step-by-step journey. But once we can, you know, some people eat when their emotions are out of whack. Some people start, you know, just getting depressed or feeling depressed. Mm-hmm. And it's because we're not dealing with our emotions. So it's becoming the master of your emotions versus the emotions being the master of you.
I love that. First of all, thank you for even just giving us a little snippet of that sound bowl. I love a good sound bowl. I have one over there in my corner and I want more. I want to actually learn the different tones, but this is like the detoxing of the emotions, like that, just even that phrase, Like, it's just so much in that, the detoxing of the emotions. For me, it reminds me of, or it makes me think about how much trauma we experience as humans, whether we're experiencing it directly or indirectly, whether we're experiencing it vicariously. There's a lot of things that happen in our lives that actually, I'm going to make up a word, that toxifies our emotions. You may not know this about me, but some of the people in my life know I am known for making up words. I think, you know, I acquired that from a speaker who is known to do that. Reverend Jesse Jackson, he's known for making up words. But yeah, I think that there's so much going on in the world that creates the toxins. And we don't think of toxins being in our emotions. We don't think of our emotions creating toxicity in our body. We don't even think of that thoughts that way, you know? And so to have a process, and what I love about the sound bowl, the sound healing in general, is that it is a vibration that gets into the body. It is a vibration that gets into the cell, because what we know is that trauma lives in the mind, but trauma lives in the body, and the emotions are in the body. And that's why people who are chronically depressed get tired, and they have inflammation in the body. And if there are studies that show that people who have chronic disease, who are chronically depressed and don't have support, they have worse outcomes than people who have these types of physical conditions and have family support and have a greater sense of themselves, connectedness to themselves, and maybe even to universe. They tend to have better outcomes because there's a healing component to that. There's a cellular healing component. Mm-hmm. And that's what the sound does. It gets right into the cells. And I can imagine, and you can tell me, I can imagine that the different tones of sounds do different things and detox at different levels and bring about different emotions to be, you know, detoxed from the body.
Each bowl I have has a different frequency. So it would either speak to, if you're looking at chakras, a heart chakra, throat chakra, etc. But yeah, it's I absolutely, absolutely love it. And it's been my tool. So moving back to Jamaica, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm now a completely different person. Like, the person who left is not the person who is now back. But there was a lot of trauma that I had to deal with because I left it here. I ran and I left it here. I walked and I left it here. And I came back and I was like, oh, oh yes, that happened. And I had to deal with the trauma and just things and life. And thankfully I have my sound. So some emotions that I was carrying, you know, anger being one of them. So the organ that's tied to the emotion of anger is the liver.
Yes.
So I've been detoxing my liver just to make sure that I don't have any kind of residual anger anymore. And I didn't know that I had it. So it was just layers and layers and layers and layers. That's why it's always a journey. You know, it's always a journey of just continual healing and just looking for the light or divinity.
Yes. You know, the other thing that's fascinating to me and what's cool is we get to talk about this a little bit more today. We didn't get to talk about it as much last time. It's the technology. This voice technology that allows one to really get the root of one's emotions inside of this voice recording, which I think is very, very cool, because oftentimes, as we said earlier, people are going about their lives so disconnected from what they feel. And then this technology, you know, AI is amazing. And pick up the subtle difference in frequencies and tonalities and inflection and absence of certain things. That is pretty cool. Say more about that.
Yeah. So I think of it, two comparisons is the lie detector test back in the day when you used to, I don't know which talk show they had the lie detector test. And they could pick up, no matter what you said, they could pick up what was real, you know, the yes or no, are you lying or not? And the second thing for me, because I do MRIs because of the multiple sclerosis, and it's like, if you've ever done one, it's like these jackhammer sounds. And then you get this image of what's going on with whether you're doing it, the brain, spine, wherever. And I'm like, how does, it just doesn't make sense that this sound is creating these images. And also back in the days for Wi-Fi.
I forgot about that.
And then all of a sudden it's www.aol.com. So it's, you know, technology has always been there, but thankfully it's just continually evolving and becoming available in different ways. So for this inner voice, it is recording your own voice, no matter if you're in a good mood, bad mood, your inner voice does not lie. Your subconscious does not lie. You could lie, but it doesn't.
I love that. The inner voice does not lie. It reminds me of this show, and the show was only on for like a couple of seasons, but this show called Lie to Me. And yeah, there's this like, it's this like, he was this like psychologist, and he specialized in micro expressions and micro vocalizations. And he could like talk to people and see like the micro expressions on their face and hear the inflections and deflections of their voices and the cadences. And he could tell if someone was, what someone was experiencing, like if it was fear, if it was disgust, if it was like, yeah, it was so interesting. That show got me, you know, like really hooked on powers of observation. And so now there's like a whole technology just for the voice. I mean, I imagine there's probably video technology somewhere out there too that detects something similar like micro expression, but to have it for the voice, that's pretty neat.
It's amazing.
So now, do you utilize this technology and the sound tech? Like, how do you work with people?
So in person is always preferred, right? However, sometimes it's not possible, especially working with people with disabilities. There is an online option in terms of virtual. If it's in person, then it's just a joy to me because I can pick up a lot more and be able to produce the right sound based on what I hear.
So that sounds to me like we need to be having like a trip to Jamaica. Woo! You know, it sounds like, you know, I just the whole time I've been thinking, I think we're going to need to do our retreat together.
I was just saying.
I mean, you know, what better combination of, because a lot, the work that we do crosses over a lot, you know, there's, because we both deal with like, what is the subconscious, you know, what are the subconscious thoughts, you know, the subconscious emotions. I deal more inside of like the work. My work is more verbal than nonverbal, and your work is more somatic. Although I'm sure there's some verbal components, but like, I think that's what's so beautiful is like, and I can do a lot of the, you know, the teaching too around, I can do a lot of teaching about the brain and trauma and let break that down. But I think I hear a retreat coming together. Ooh. I think that we're going to have to talk offline about this and see, you know, and what better place to do it than Jamaica. I mean, really, there's so many cool places that we can do things. I don't know. You probably know more than me, but I know a couple of retreat centers.
I tell people this is where I want to have my problems. It's just beautiful when I get to have a little stressful day. I'm like, I'm going to the beach.
Yes, exactly. I'm going to go soak in the sea. All right.
That seed planted for sure. So listeners, we have a retreat that we're going to plan and it's going to be coming up. I'm going to say soon, whatever that means.
Yes. Well, stay tuned. Well, that's so it's really great. So you work with people virtually, and the preferred way is in person. So are there people who travel to you from the United States?
So I go to retreats, for example, or it's mostly locals or anybody that's in Jamaica. My goal is to set up a spot back in New York so that I could serve the New Yorkers once again. But for now, it's wherever I am. Then they come. Otherwise,
you know, the other thing I think could be very powerful is corporate. You probably still have some contacts. And I think, you know, there's a lot of people who do corporate retreats. There's a lot of people who need this work of the somatic, the detoxifying of them. I mean, come on now. We know folks need their emotions detox to the nines. And so, yeah, I mean, I love how applicable in all aspects what you do is. And I love the fact that, you know, that you're wanting to set up the center in New York. I have family in New York, so that'll make it easier for me to come up and come hang out with you. But definitely I'm gonna come to Jamaica too, because I'm actually closer technically to being in Atlanta. Technically closer to Jamaica, but you know, maybe I'm halfway in between. I don't know. But yeah, I appreciate that. And I love that you work with retreats as well, because I'm sure there are plenty of retreats that are local, and there are people who travel down for the purposes of healing. And there, so yeah, you're just so amazing.
I love this space. I love the healing space. I never envisioned this would have been me. Like, absolutely. Yeah. If somebody told me this would have been me, I would have laughed. I'm like, not going to happen. But it's the authentic, what do I want to do? Where's my passion? What gives me joy? Before, I used to hear people talking about, oh, their job is their passion and they really love it. And I'm like, what? What are they smoking? We work because we have to get money. We have to pay bills.
Right.
But I'm in a space where my bills get paid. Mm-hmm. And I just love, 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 love what I do.
There it is. When your job is not your passion, until it is.
Forgive the ex-husband and learn to love him and be grateful, because it was these two moments or situations, person, that allowed me to step into my authenticity. And it was hard as heck.
Yeah, I bet.
But I'm grateful. Yeah.
Well, you know, I just give you all the flowers and the acknowledgement for having created what you've created, given the circumstances. You know, we are some of the most resilient people on this earth, brown people. I just honor you, you know, honor your journey, and am so excited for what's to come. And, you know, I've got to experience this as well. Like, I need to experience this voice recording thing. So we got to set that up. We got to figure that out. And I would love to experience a sound healing with you as well. I mean, I know we're virtual, but I would love to experience that as well. So thank you. Thank you for being with me today. Thank you for this conversation. I have to say, people don't know, but it was even juicier and even better the second time around. Yeah, it was, you know, that first recording was supposed to get lost, mm-hmm. because this time around, we just went straight deep. We went real deep. And I think that, you know, the audience listening really can take some value away from your entire journey. And then also look into this rebirth therapy. So speaking of that, what is the way that people can connect with you if they're interested in experiencing some sound healing and some rebirth therapy?
So two options, my website, www.rebirththerapy.com, mm-hmm. and on Instagram at Rebirth Therapy. Those are the two best ways. You can always find me there.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, we will have all of that in the show notes. And y'all go check out Cherie, man. Go check out Cherie, because this is some really good stuff. And I think that everyone could use a little detox of the emotions, mm-hmm. right? I just think that's wherever you're coming from. Like, that is, I think that's a really key to healing. And stay tuned for a retreat coming up to a retreat center in Jamaica near you. Oh my goodness. Well, thank you again for being with us on the show, with me on the show. And for the listeners, I thank you, because without you, there is no podcast. So share this episode, share it with a friend, share it with a family member, share it with a colleague. And please leave us a comment. And if you haven't subscribed already to the Black Mind Guard, you should hit that subscribe button. Okay. So make sure you subscribe so you can get notified for these awesome new episodes that be coming out. And so until the next episode, everyone, you all go check out rebirththerapy.com, at Rebirth Therapy on Instagram. Check out Cherie. And until the next time, everyone, you all stay empowered.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks for listening. Remember, I want you to apply these principles in your life every day. But also, I want you to share this podcast with others in your life who you think it could help, a friend, a colleague, or family member. And remember, go hit the subscribe button so you will know when our next episode is released. Finally, I'd really appreciate if you did me a favor and left a review. It really lets others know that this podcast can make a difference in their life as well. See you on the next episode.